And now I want to introduce Dr. Sydney Hankerson, who's the Assistant Professor of Clinical Psychiatry at Columbia University. His research uses community-based participatory approaches to reduce disparities in depression care. He completed his undergraduate studies at the University of Virginia and attended medical school at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. And his long-term goal is to create faith-based mental health network through which to disseminate evidence-based practices. What a wonderful, I mean, isn't that wonderful? He's a doctor who wants, I just love this. So that's why we love mental health, why we love APHA. Come on up. I think you're ready here. And let me just push that one.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you, Ms. Walkover, for that very warm introduction. I did not pay her to say those kind words. So thank you very much. So today I'm going to talk about a study that I'm doing that we're looking and collaborating with clergy to get their perceptions of providing church-based services for depression. And first, I just want to go over my disclosures. Those are my funding sources. And I wanted to acknowledge my primary mentor, Myrna Wiseman, and those of her long list of funding sources. And my other collaborators have no conflicts of interest to disclose. So during our time together, I'm going to go over a brief overview of disparities in depression treatment. Then I'm going to talk about the overall aim and the specific aims of my study of church-based care for depression, and then talk about lessons learned, and then explore potentially future directions of research. So since the topic of our conference this year is Think Global and Act Local, I wanted to provide a context of the economic and societal burden that's associated with major depression. By the year 2020, depression is predicted to be the second leading cause of disability worldwide, second only to ischemic heart disease. And this is regardless of race or ethnicity. Now, the relationship between race and depression in the United States is actually pretty complex. African Americans, compared to white Americans, actually have a lower prevalence rate of depression over the lifetime. However, African Americans who are depressed have greater impairment compared to white Americans. Specifically, depressed African Americans have a course of illness that's more severe. It's more disabling, so African Americans tend to lose more time out of work and have more disability in their relationships. It's more persistent, so it lasts for a longer period of time, and it's also more resistant to treatment. Now, given these, how disabling depression is in the African American community, you would think that we would be clamoring out to get depression treatment. But unfortunately, that's not the case. Mexican Americans and African Americans actually have the lowest rates of depression treatment in the U.S. And when you examine the treatment patterns for depression care among African Americans more closely, you'll see that African Americans are less likely to be prescribed antidepressants. And so interventions that focus exclusively on educating providers about depression treatment through antidepressants are unlikely to reduce disparities. And we also know that African Americans are more likely to prefer counseling over taking antidepressants. And African Americans are less likely to receive evidence-based depression care and are also more likely to terminate from treatment prematurely. So even if you provide an evidence-based treatment, African Americans who are depressed are more likely to leave before they're able to get the full benefits of that treatment. And then African Americans are more likely to receive low-quality depression care. And so there are numerous barriers to studying how to improve access to depression treatment and research in the African American community. Does anyone want to take a stab at who that picture is? John Henry. All right. So who's John Henry? Still right, right? He's a still driver. And so I put a picture of John Henry up to symbolize one of the psychological barriers to depression treatment that prevent African Americans from entering care. If we look at barriers, we can divide them broadly into psychological barriers, practical barriers, and then cultural barriers. So John Henry was a steam driver who legend has it was the best steam driver in the South, and he went up against a steam engine to see who could outperform the other. Well, John Henry actually won, but at the end of the competition, he dropped over and died. And so this notion of working hard and pushing through problems is actually a psychological barrier for African Americans acknowledging that we may be depressed, because many African Americans, especially in faith communities, think that depression is a source of weakness or that it is somehow a character flaw or it may be due to lack of faith. So addressing stigma and these psychological barriers will be important to engaging people in depression treatment. And then practical barriers, like lack of health insurance, competing demands, lack of transportation, lack of being able to get to community mental health clinics, and not knowing where community mental health clinics are. So practical barriers prevent people from getting care, and financial strain. And then cultural barriers. So we're all familiar with the infamous Tuskegee study that has served as a legacy of distrust with medical professionals as well as medical research. So psychological, practical, and cultural barriers prevent African Americans from engaging in depression treatment. Faith-based health promotion has been touted as a solution to address many of these barriers to engaging African Americans in depression care and treatment. We know that churches and mosques have been used successfully to improve patient outcomes for numerous medical conditions, including cancer, HIV/AIDS, obesity, and high blood pressure. Oh, I'm a little fast. And we know that data from the National Comorbidity Survey shows that regardless of race and ethnicity, people in the United States are more likely to engage clergy than they are psychiatrists or medical providers for severe emotional problems, at least initially. 25% of people engage clergy, and only 16% of people in the population engaged psychiatrists or general medical providers. And in the African American community in particular, clergy are trusted gatekeepers for providing pastoral counseling and referrals to mental health specialists. So we feel like by collaborating with clergy and faith-based organizations, that could be a way to engage African Americans in care. So I was fortunate enough to get grant funding for a small pilot study to actually test the feasibility and acceptability of implementing group interpersonal psychotherapy in a large church in New York City. Now, IPT is an evidence-based psychotherapy, just like CBT or problem-solving therapy, and it's been studied for use in groups. And so given the communal nature of black churches, we thought that it would be a good idea to see if we could implement group psychotherapy in the church. And the specific aims of our study were to actually conduct focus groups with ministers to get their perceptions of depression care and also to assess the prevalence of depression among parishioners. And so this is an atypical church, to say the least. The church that we did this study in has over 23,000 members. So it's a small town, depending on where you're from. So this church is defined as a mega church. So a mega church in the U.S. is defined by having at least 2,000 congregants attend on any given Sunday. And there are actually over 1,200 mega churches in the U.S. So while this study may not be generalizable to all churches, at least it may be applicable to mega churches in the U.S. And we were able to conduct focus groups with 21 ministers. The majority were female. Mean age was 53 years, and it was a very highly educated group of clergy, as the overwhelming majority had their master's, and everyone had at least graduated from high school. So we actually conducted these focus groups on site in the pastoral library. Three sets of focus groups. Each one lasted 90 minutes. I was the facilitator for the focus groups, and we had research assistants take notes throughout the focus groups. And so some of the semi-structured interview questions that we asked was, what does depression mean to you? And how do you identify people in the church who may be depressed? And how do you refer people to specialty care? And so I'll provide some of the findings of our focus groups and what the ministers had to say. When they talked about stigma, they talked about stigma being a barrier for community members getting depression care. And we asked about, well, what are parishioners saying about depression? And this quote, I think, really illustrates what many folks in the congregation said. It said that depression is not something that happens to us because we've come up on the rough side of the mountain. So this is something that we can handle. And so this kind of concept or this idea kind of really shows how pervasive that concept of John Henryism can be in our community. And then when we asked specifically about what are your thoughts about actually implementing group interpersonal psychotherapy in the church, they said, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And the big concern, again, was about stigma and about confidentiality. They were concerned that folks in the church in a group setting may go out and then share information that was discussed in the group therapy, and then the church may be liable. Something may happen. The person may do something. So they did not accept group IPT in the church setting. And we asked about providing actually church-based depression care. The minister said, you know, you ain't going to come in here with your little Columbia degree and think that you're just going to drop in and provide some type of treatment. But there have to be partners. You have to partner with us for this to have any type of chance of success of happening. So the emphasis on partnerships between academicians and clergy leaders was really emphasized. And so I really like this survey because it summarized all of the key domains that we found in the focus groups. We kind of divided our findings into three main domains. And interesting, the first domain was depression. And while we went to go talk about depression and church-based care, the ministers touched on depression briefly, but really focused on how depression is just one of the many problems that are within a broader role of chronic stress facing the African-American community due to socioeconomic conditions, underemployment, racism, discrimination, and community violence. But within depression, we talked about how do you define depression, so what does that look like? How do you identify it, and then what are those causal factors? And then we saw the quote that emphasized stigma can prevent people from acknowledging that they may be depressed. And then we talked about the minister's role as gatekeepers and their perceived responsibilities and currently providing care, but also their limitations and not having formal training to be able to provide care because they feel like they don't have enough time and they don't get that training to be able to provide sufficient care. And then how even stigma contributes to their limitations as well. And then we talked about the overall concept of faith-based health promotion and looking at the assessments and identifying people in the church who are depressed, and then looking at group IPT, which they ultimately didn't accept. But then leveraging that, if we could partner with them, we could then refer people to medical providers, mental health providers, social service agencies, so that we could address the social needs that people have, and then collectively address collective recovery within the community. So for the second aim, we actually looked at the prevalence of depression among parishioners. And we were able to get information and data from three separate churches and got information on 122 churchgoers. And the assessment that we used is the Patient Health Questionnaire 9, and this assesses the 9 symptoms of depression as identified in the DSM. And as you can see, we were successful in actually recruiting a pretty high percentage of men in this study to assess their prevalence of depression as well. So a little over 43% of the sample was men. Average age was in their low 50s. Overwhelming majority, not surprisingly, was black. But in terms of depression severity, on the PHQ-9, if you have a score greater than or equal to 10, then that means that you meet the criteria for being clinically depressed. And so if you add up all of the percentages, 19% of this sample met the criteria for being clinically depressed. And so we're in the process of collaborating with the churches about how to actually report this and what we can do about it. So what were the lessons learned from this study? I'm so glad you asked. So first, Group IPT delivered in the church was not accepted by the ministers, in large part because of concerns of stigma and confidentiality. However, they were very eager to receive training on how to better identify, support, through brief counseling, and then refer congregants to mental health specialists and to build that capacity. Stigma cut through all domains in terms of looking at what depression is, looking at the minister's role in care, and also in faith-based health promotion. And collaborating or partnering with all stakeholders was essential, but also takes a lot of time. So anyone interested in community-based work, you need to realize that it's very time-consuming. So where are we going from here? So the next step, 1 week from today, we'll be submitting a collaborative grant to train clergy in an evidence-based, patient-oriented depression screening and treatment modality. And we're going to be using principles of community-partnered participatory research, which is the derivation of CBPR. And the hope is that we will be able to build community capacity, reduce stigma, and then get people the care that they need, and ultimately be able to address some of the social determinants of health by collaborating with social organizations and other medical providers. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned that there's roughly a 20% or 19-20% has indicated a significant level of depression.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So this looks at current depression. So the Patient Health Questionnaire 9 asks, over the last 2 weeks, have you experienced these symptoms of depression? And you rate each symptom from 0 to 3. And so this looks at kind of current depression. For African Americans, the rate of current depression, depending on the source, is anywhere from about 5 to 7 to 8%. Lifetime is about 10%. And so for these rates of current depression being 20%, that's very high and actually matched those found in clinical samples. Dr. Wiseman has looked at clinical samples in Washington Heights, where Columbia is located, among primarily a Dominican and Puerto Rican population, and found that there were the prevalence rate of depression for current depression was also 20% in that population. So prevalence rate actually in the church rivals that in clinical samples. So we got a small grant to look at that, to ask their perceptions of what it would be. Yeah. So not in this study, but that's the next step, to ask parishioners what they think. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I would love to. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yes.
I'm just thinking your presentation maybe reflects on the role of spirituality to mitigate the impact of depression. I'm wondering, in the process of doing the next step of having a screening tool, would you have conversations with folks in the congregation to let them know that their faith can actually help build their resilience, which will help with the depression? Will you be doing that kind of wellness education within as a context?
Yes. I mean, I think that would be the next study to do, how to kind of reduce stigma and synergize spirituality. Create a synergistic relationship between one's faith and their religion, and help that as a positive way of coping. That would be the next step, hopefully. Okay, thank you.